So this is a topic that's probably going to piss off a couple of people. I don't really care. For those of you that are really against cannabis, I would ask that you listen to what I'm about to say with a very open mind, because I'm probably going to shock you. I've been involved in the cannabis industry for, oh shoot, since I was 17 years old. And I started as pretty much as an outlaw. And my parents, I tell this story to a lot of people. My parents got put away for a while, and I'd take over the farm and an illegal cannabis grow, which is really kind of funny because the feds, they only found one of the fields that we had. My dad was good. He diversified. We had four. Actually, we had three. The other one wasn't running yet. So I've been doing this all my life. And because I'm really not happy to settle with anything, I want to always innovate and do better things and do good things. My whole goal was to try to get as big as possible, because I figured, you know, that's what we should do. So when 1996 happened, cannabis became legal in Colorado, you know, medically legal. And I think the weekend it became medically legal is the weekend I started my company called Tribe Awake. And I went from being an outlaw grower to starting consultations to get people, to help people grow this amazing plant. So I've been vilified for this most of my life. And as time went on, more and more research came out, and I began supporting research doctors. I actually have three research doctors that I have been either growing cannabis for or supplying their source for the past almost 10 years. So there are a lot of very, very, very hidden things about cannabis. And school teachers, both in college and high school level, when you sign your teaching contract, a lot of people don't know this about school teachers, but you're actually paid by your state, and then your retirement is state and federal retirement, depending on what state you're in. But every single one of these contracts, there is a whole pile of things that, you know, reference to this, reference to that, and nobody ever looks it up. But teachers sign away their rights to teach anything about cannabis, no matter what you know about it, if you become a legal teacher in the United States. That right was taken away, I think, in the 30s or the 40s. It's been a long, long time. And the reason why they don't want you to know about this is when people find out, what I'm about to tell you, many people don't know. If people were to find out that their own bodies produce an endocannabinoid system, they'd have a heart attack. Folks, your body makes CBD. It makes it all the time. If you didn't have it, you would die. And if you remember back in grade school and science classes, you learned about the DNA strand. Now, they say it's a DNA strand. They don't say it's a DNA circle. That's because it actually is a strand. It's a straight conglomeration of different parts that make up your DNA. I don't know the exact terminology, but it's a strand, okay? And all of your life, your body has to replace the cells so you stay alive. And most cell structure flip is 21 days. So every 21 days, almost all of the cells in your body, they replace themselves. And how they do that is it starts with the DNA, and then the DNA will replicate itself. And then at some point, it will be complete with the replication. And then the ends caps of the DNA will soften, and the cell will split. If you're in college, you want to make your science teacher insane, ask them the question, what makes those caps split? What makes those DNA ends of the strands release the double strand so that it can separate? The answer is amazing. The answer is CBD. It's your endocannabinoid system that's built into your body. It's the second system that started after your skin. It is more basic than your heart. If you don't have an endocannabinoid system, you will die in 57 days. End of story. So what happens is people that get sick or people that get injured, every time that DNA cell splits, that DNA splits and you make a new cell. If you have elevated cannabinoids in your bloodstream, CBD specifically, THC to a minor degree, but mostly CBD, if you have that higher levels in your bloodstream, when your cells split, it lays down a thin, 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 super, 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 super thin layer of CBD. And you are literally healing your cells from the inner structure of your cell out. Okay. When I was in Vegas, I began getting plant material from one of the doctors who was doing research on pancreatic cancer. I got one doctor that's doing pancreatic cancer. I got one doctor that's doing, what's it called, seizures in kids. And I've got another doctor working on glaucoma. So there's three completely different research doctors I'm helping. The one for pancreatic cancer, he was explaining to me that if I, because I had a friend who came to me and he was orange. I mean, clearly he had pancreatic cancer. Skin was already orange. And so I called this doctor because this doctor was in South Carolina. I said, dude, I want to save my friend. How do I fucking save my friend? He's going to die. He goes, yeah, if you don't stop this in 21 days, he's dead. And I said, what do I do? He says, do you have any plants growing right now? And I'm like, dude, I only grow THC. What the fuck? I don't have any CBD. He goes, that's okay. He said, cut down one of your THC plants, take off all the branches, take off all the stems, take off all the branches and the center stem, cut it into 1-inch pieces, and then smash those pieces with a hammer. Boom, boom, boom. Just really light, just enough to break up the bulb. Put it in a pot and boil and bring it to a slow heat, just a half a tick below boiling. Don't let it boil. Just make it just so we got a little kind of bubbles coming off of the bottom of the pan, and then turn it off. What we were doing is we were removing the CBD in the main stem, which is where CBD resides in a THC plant. The stem of the THC plant has lots of CBD in it. They don't talk about that. So we did that, and then we cooled the liquid, and I said, drink. And he's like, this tastes like ass. I don't give a fuck. I want you to stay alive. So every day, we made this terrible, terrible tasting drink. Later learned out that you can put honey and chocolate in it, and it's pretty good. It pretty much covers it. That guy is now 10 years with having pancreatic cancer. For those of you that are not aware, pancreatic cancer is a death sentence. Once they turn orange, they're dead. My doctor is very, very tickled to tell people that if you can get them to stay alive for 21 days, you can save their life. Pancreatic cancer is one of the easiest ones to get turned around. Now, if you take a picture of these people every 21 days and then put those pictures together and flip them like a flip book, you'll literally watch them. You can look at the pictures and watch them heal right in front of your eyes. It's the most amazing, amazing thing ever. So fast forward, being in the business for years, I'm 63 years old. And I personally have helped two different people that have pancreatic cancer, and they're fine. They go in, they get the blood test. The doctors go, yeah, you have pancreatic cancer. He goes, yeah, see where it's metastasized. It's nowhere in their body. So moving along with doing all this work with these different doctors. And one of the doctors was telling me that you can actually use THC for pain, and it will cause you to feel like, hey, I'm in pain, but the pain's over there. I know I hurt, but it don't really bother me. So, for years, I'm preaching about, oh, use THC. Don't use cannabinoids. Don't use cannabinoids, you know. God has a funny way of testing to make sure you're lying, testing to make sure you're not lying, is what I'm trying to say. So, I had lost everything when I moved here. My moving truck got stolen, and my moving truck was stolen, and my car that was attached to the moving truck was stolen. I got a terrible lesson in insurance, finding out that if you move and you release your homeowner's insurance, your stuff's not covered. So I lost everything. And the only thing I had left was the only thing I had left was just the storage that I had in Vegas. So I took me a while. It took me like 2, 3 years to get out there. 2 years, I guess. Drove out to Vegas, and I had a flatbed truck and a 20-foot trailer, flatbed trailer, and I was supposed to have a moving crew come move me. Now, if you've ever been in Vegas in August, you'll know, or June, July, I guess it was July, you'll know it's not a fun place to be. So my moving crew didn't show up, but worse, I had lived in Colorado for 2 years and I lived in the snow line. So my blood had gone from being hot blood, where I could be in the desert all the time, it didn't bother me. My whole body switched over to acclimatize to cold weather. So when I was in such an extreme heat, it was like I had never lived in Vegas before. And I was used to being in Vegas. I'd been there for 10 years. Before I had lived there, before moving to Colorado, I'd lived there for 10 years. Well, my moving crew didn't show up. So I'm like, fuck this shit. So I started loading 3,500 pounds of storage onto my truck and trailer all by myself. Started at 9 o'clock in the morning, was done by 2, and at 2 o'clock it was 110 degrees outside, and I was just dripping. I was so not okay. And about 1:30, I started throwing up, and I started throwing up foam. What was happening is I was in the very first stages of sunstroke, and didn't know it. So I got everything done, sat in the shade for a minute, and realized that there was no way for me to stop because I had no tide, I had no tarps. So there's no place for me to stop because everything would be stolen off the vehicle. So I sat in the shade for a minute and tied down the load, got my truck, and took off. My truck didn't have any air conditioning. So the first thing you're doing is driving across the desert. Well, across that desert, it was 128 degrees. And it was 145 degrees in the cab of my truck. Even though I was in the shade, the heat stopped my body from doing what it was supposed to do. And lactic acid began to build up in all my joints and my soft tissues, and I had no idea. So driving out, I was doing 65 miles an hour. Driving back with that kind of weight, I could only do 25 miles an hour going uphill. And I could only do 45 miles an hour going downhill or on the straights. Otherwise, that trailer would come around and try to kiss the nose of my truck. That was not going to happen. So it's a 12-hour drive out, and it was a 34-hour drive back. No stops. And at this point, I had been up almost 40-something hours. So I get here, and I got here at 7 o'clock at night, and I call the guy that's supposed to help me unload. And he's currently in the hospital because he pulled his rotator cuff. He pulled all the shit in his shoulder, and he was gonna have surgery, so absolutely not helping. Same problem. Here I am parked out in the open, and this town is full of thieves. So I began to unload, and I guess I finished at about 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't remember pretty much anything past 10 o'clock. I was way, way, way gone. So I got woken up at 7 o'clock in the morning by two policemen. Ma'am, 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 wake up, wake up. I was sitting in my chair, front door of my shop wide open, my pickup wide open, doors open on both sides. All it's a club cab, so all four doors were open. I had looked like I had opened, finished everything, and I had sat down and I passed out. Well, when the cops woke me up, I tried to stand up and I hit the ground. I fell straight to the ground. I had no muscle, nothing. What had happened is the lactic acid had built up and it crystallized. And it was in all my soft tissues. Walking was extremely, it was feeling like I'm getting stabbed in all my joints. It was beyond painful. So, this is a small little town. The cops, the cop was freaking out because I literally could not move, no muscles. So he grabbed me up and put me in his patrol car, took me to the hospital. And then they say, you've got lactic acid poisoning. And I say, you got to be kidding me. And they go, no. And it's worse. The worst news is it takes up to 2 years or more to heal. Because the only way you can heal is if you move. And if you move, it's super, super, super crazy painful. It takes 10 to 15 steps before the lactic acid breaks and then your muscles can work normally. But for those 10 to 15 steps, I mean, it's literally like you're being stabbed all over your body. It's the most insane pain ever. And at this point, it hadn't ramped up yet. It was still in the starting points of getting bad. So the hospital said, you need to have a morphine pump. And I go, excuse me? And he goes, yeah, well, just attach it to your waist. And anytime, when it gets bad, you push the button, it'll deliver morphine. I said, you mean you want me? I'm going to be in the hospital. And they go, oh, no, we'll send you home because there's nothing we can do about it. You just have to walk and it's going to be really, really bad and just hit that bump. And I thought about it for a second and I was like, God bless America. I'm just pissy, just immediately pissy because I knew that if I take that morphine pump, then every single person I had talked to in the industry would believe I was lying about THC. So I was literally rock in a hard spot. Okay. I told the doctor, thank you. I'm not going to be taking any opioids. I'm going to do this on THC. The doctor, everybody in the room started laughing. Everybody started laughing. They said, ma'am, you don't understand how bad this pain is going to be. You might as well just do this now, or at least take, like, we'll send you home with a bottle of pills. And I was like, no. Just get the prescription just in case. And I said, no, because if it gets as bad as you say, I might be tempted and I'm not doing it. I'm going to do this all on THC because I've been telling everybody for years and years and years that you can absolutely replace CBD, or excuse me, THC for morphine, and I'm going to do it. Again, they laughed. It is July of this year was 2 years. I have not taken one morphine pill, not one, not one. I have not had a morphine pump. I didn't have none of that stuff. I did this entire thing on THC. There were days that, yes, in the beginning, I couldn't go more than 15 minutes without smoking. I was literally like, I had half joints and rolled joints all over my house because I didn't know. I didn't know when it was going to hit. It was so bad that when I got out of bed, I had to literally have a joint beside my bed and smoke the joint just to go to the bath and walk to the restroom. You're going to get a cup of coffee. Okay, light a joint and take like five hits and go get a cup because you ain't making it back. So, cannabis is a medicine, folks. It's a very, very, very strong medicine. So the doctors, when I called the doctor, I said, look, I just left the hospital and I turned down all the morphine and I'm not taking it. And he goes, oh my God. He goes, I said, what are the protocols to start using this? How am I going to save myself? Because like I get into the house and I literally go get my dab rig and I take dabs because like my pain level is so bad, my ears are ringing. He says, well, here's the deal, Park. This is how you do this. Is what I want you to do is I want you to smoke weed until you pass out. And I want you to do this every single, the moment you wake up, smoke, 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 pass out. Just smoke until you pass out. I know you've got strong weed, so smoke until you pass out. And I want you to do this for 3 days. And after 3 days, then you're not going to smoke nothing for 24 hours. And then when you go to smoke again, it'll stop your pain. And I'm thinking, this first 3 days is going to be great. So I did. Smoke, 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 pass out. Smoke, smoke. As soon as I wake up, this was the best 3 days of my life. Smoke, smoke, pass out. I didn't do no work. Smoke, pass out. The fourth day was the day you're not supposed to smoke nothing. About An hour into the fourth day, I call my doctor. I said, "Listen, motherfucker, I cannot fucking walk. I cannot move. I'm in insane pain." He goes, "Sorry, Park, you got to deal with it. You can't do nothing for 24 hours." I literally lay on the bed, didn't move, tears running out of my eyes, couldn't lift up my arms, couldn't get a drink, couldn't go. I got out of bed and wet and peed on the floor. I couldn't do nothing. Couldn't do nothing. The most insane pain I've ever had in my life. 24 hours go by. I wake up the next morning. I think it was actually only 20 hours. Couldn't do it. Wake up the next morning, reach for a joint, light the joint, like nearly instant pain relief. It was amazing. I was like, "Oh, if I could pet it, I would have petted it. Oh, little joint, I love you. Oh, God, thank you, thank you, thank you." And then all of a sudden, I realized I wasn't high. Not at all. I'm smoking 24% THC, and I'm not high one teeny tiny bit. I'm totally sober, not high at all. I call the doctor up. I go, "What the hell? What happened here? I'm smoking weed, and I'm not high. What happened? What happened to my body?" And he said, "Well," he said, "that's part I didn't want to tell you until we got to this point." And I go, "What are you talking about?" He said, "When you deluge your body like that and then wait 24 hours, if you have pain and you smoke again, the THC will work on your pain and you won't get high." And I said, "Are you fucking kidding me? I'm not going to get high." He goes, "No, Park, that will work on your pain. You won't be getting high until your pain's gone." And then I start cussing, and he hung up the phone on me. I was not a happy girl. I was so pissy. I'm like, "Listen, I write, I create. You take away my weed, how am I going to do sculpture? I do this all high. That's how I think. It's expanded thinking. What the hell do you mean I can't get high?" He goes, "Sorry, it's not going to work." So, for 2 years, well, actually, a year and 9 months, I didn't get high, and I smoked weed every single day, and I was like, "This is great. I have no pain, but this sucks. I can't do any no creative writing. I didn't do any inventions. I couldn't access that part of my brain that let me be creative." And so I was so cranky. And so 420 this year, 420 came along, and I was like, "Man, I'm," because I had gone down to smoking like once a day with breakthrough pain kind of stuff. And so I hadn't smoked for like, and I was like, "Why smoke weed if you're not in pain and you're not going to get high? It's stupid to smoke weed." So I didn't smoke anything, and I didn't smoke anything for like 2 weeks. Well, 420 came, and I was like, "God bless America. I'm gonna smoke on 420, even if I can't get high, because these are my people." So I roll myself the biggest, fattest joint. And I'm like, "I don't care if I don't get high. I'm just gonna smoke with my friends." I was blasted out of my fucking tea kettle. My tolerance had gone to nothing. I was lit up. I called my doctor. I said, "Buddy, what in the hell happened? What did I do?" He said, "How many days has it been since you smoked a joint?" And I said, "It's been like 2 weeks." He goes, "Well, the thing I didn't want to tell you is to reverse that pain. The way it works on pain is you had to stop smoking weed for 3 days, and then your body would reverse." And I was like, "You could have told me this like a month ago, because I haven't been smoking like for a month, 4 weeks." He goes, "I've been waiting for your phone call. I've been over here as soon as you told me, yeah, I cut down so much." I said, "He's, I was wondering when you were going to decide to smoke a joint, and then you were going to find out exactly what happened." So yeah, so cannabis is a medicine, and there are those people in the channel I know that get really fucking pissy about the fact I talk about it. So I just decided, and I got messages in the past 24 hours, like, "Please refrain from talking about cannabis." Oh, that's like putting a red flag in front of a bull. I'm going to explain to you exactly how it works. Okay. Do some research, folks. It's not the drug that they claim it to be. I am never going to stop. I'm not addicted to it. I'm a writer, and I'm a creative, and it helps me access, it kind of like relaxes your ego, so you don't really think about, what is this good or is this bad? You just create. And it's led to, I have over 100 inventions. I have 50, 56, 57 patents, and it's because I smoke weed. So if you have any questions about that, say something now, and or I'm going to end this recording. But I wanted to put that out there because a lot of people have been bitching about it. And I'm like, sorry, I'm going to play more music about cannabis if you're upset about it, because we have been, the truth about cannabis has been completely hidden. For those of you that are planning on doing projects to clean the ground, clean the soil, especially if you're going into cornfields or alfalfa, or not alfalfa, what's that plant you smoke? Tobacco. If you're going into those two fields, those fields have been really over chemicalized, over nutrients, and corn and tobacco take a tremendous toll on the ground. So if you want a clean ground, plant hemp, not CBD, not THC, hemp. It's a different plant. And they don't really tell you that it's different. They just, oh, it's cannabis. It's the illegal drug. Illegal drug. Blah blah blah. No, planting hemp. Hemp is different. Hemp is about the stalks are about 1.5 to 2 inches wide. Wide. It grows straight up. Not a lot of branches, and you can put about 1,500 to 2,000 plants an acre. And what we'll do, it will clean out the soil. It will completely clean the soil. Especially if you have fly ash or some really toxic stuff that is not good that will go through the soil into your food crop. Just plant a whole crop of cannabis, and it'll completely clean the field. Cannabis hemp will replace paper. 1 acre of cannabis hemp is 2,000 trees that you don't have to cut down. So it's a wonderful plant. It's an amazing plant, and I am a very, very strong proponent of it. I have friends that have issues with smoke and stuff like that, so I have all kinds of recipes for gummies and edibles and stuff like that. So you can take your cannabis non-smokable. Does anybody have any questions about this subject? You guys are like, this is not what I came here for. All
I
right,
just have a comment, sorry.
Sure, go ahead.
Actually, I want to echo what you said about pancreatic cancer. I'm a clinician, and I personally had a patient who had a pancreatic cancer, which is the deadliest cancer of all. And he was healed by doing cannabis for 4 months.
Yep. Yeah, you can do it for 4 months, or you can do it for life. If you do it for life, you just do one drink a month. Just do one CBD drink a month. Cats, if you have a cat, if you have anybody has a cat that the doctor says, the vet says has leukemia, feline leukemia, you can shred dry cannabis, CBD, shred dry cannabis and put it in your catnip. And your cat will be cured. Well, I can't say the word cured, I'll get sued. And your cat will maintain it, will return to its prior health if it has feline leukemia with CBD. You can do CBD oil, just one drop for about 10 pounds of a cat. And within 2 months, you'll get rid of all the feline leukemia. There's just a lot of different things. Dogs are a little different. The dog's body. Acts on CBD 7 times faster than a human. You have to be super careful giving dogs CBD. You want to give like the size you half the amount that you would give a cat, you'd give a dog. Dog's blood does something really crazy to CBD. If there's too much CBD in a dog's blood, the CBD will turn into a crystalline structure inside the blood and basically shred the blood veins. So you got to be super careful with dogs and CBD. Just a tiny little bit on a dog works really, really, really well. So anyway, any other questions? Any other things you want us, anybody wants to say about this? And I'll end this chat, then we'll go to the real one.
I have a question.
Sure, you go ahead.
It's about tinctures, and it's a two-part question. One is, have you personally tried tinctures? And also, is there anything to be aware of in using tinctures as opposed to smoking?
You just want to look at the dosage. I have a company, and we white label manufacture CBD products for half a dozen different companies. One of the doctors that I was working with, he actually quit the medical profession, and now he's growing CBD full time, and he's the one that supplies my other doctors. And I'm telling you, as an old grower, going out there and seeing how a doctor grows weed, I just like, oh good Lord, he grows weed like you'd go in a hospital. Everything is perfect. Just everything is perfect. Tinctures, oils, creams. The thing you got to be careful of is the content, the amount of CBD, and that's all you got to worry about. Tinctures, oils, they all work the same because it's based on the amount of CBD you have in yourself. A couple of my channel members have body pain, and I had like 10 different rollers that roll on CBD, and it had hospital grade. So it's like 5,000 milligrams in each one. You can literally roll it on your skin. It'll go right through your skin and direct to the pain. So you want to put, if you've got a pain, like joint pain, muscle pain, you apply CBD directly to the spot, like a roll on a cream or something like that. If you've got inside tummy troubles, something with your muscles or tissues like that, take it internally. So you can take it internally, you can take it topically, or you can smoke it. It works all different ways. I'm not a big fan of smoking CBD. I absolutely don't like the way CBD tastes when you smoke it. I always do my CBD either in oil, usually coconut oil, or in roll-on oils. That
when it comes, oh, well, thank you. When it comes to the THC tinctures, people in the essential oil industry have said, you know, it's best to have cold pressed oils because of the changing in the bio, I don't know, the botanical nature changes if it's been heat distilled as opposed to cold pressed. Do you have an opinion on that when it comes to THC tinctures?
Do you know what Lay's potato chips are?
Yeah.
Do you know what Lay's kettle cooked potato chips are?
Yes.
They're both potato chips. One's thin, one's thick. They both fill you and they both fill the same need. It's the same thing with THC and CBD. The THC activates and makes the CBD work faster. You don't want to have a lot of THC if you've got CBD because one will cancel out the other. So, but it's really bizarre. The 3% or less THC in a CBD bottle is, I believe it's the best route to go because I'm not sure the medical reasons why it works. I just know it works. That little teeny tiny bit of THC amplifies the way the CBD works. I don't know why. I'm not a research doctor. I just make sure my doctors get their product.
That's what our dispensary is as well, that the CBD needs to have the THC. But aren't there certain issues that THC is better than CBD for?
Absolutely. Extreme pain. CBD will not work on extreme pain. CBD heals the body slowly from the inside. But if you're screwed, I mean, if you're in extreme pain, then THC is for pain. CBD is for healing. Hope that helps.
So you don't think there should be any concerns about cold pressed versus hot distillation?
You don't want to go over 120 degrees. if you're using heat. Over 120 degrees, you start losing cannabinoids, the delicate cannabinoids. So you don't want to go over 120 degrees. Some people will say nothing over 90. I feel like there's too much left in the plant if you don't go to at least 120. So we process everything. Heat process is always 120. Cold process is with ice and water, and you know, we don't have a temperature, lower temperature for that. I've tried one of these idiot companies. They decided to do a dry ice collector for CBD to be the ultra cold. And the dry ice just kills it. It doesn't work at all. And I don't have enough time or inclination to find out why. I just know that when you keep a plant with dry ice, it doesn't work well at all.
In the raw foods world, you can heat something up to, I think, 117, maybe 120 for up to 30 minutes, and the enzymes are still intact.
Okay. Maybe you should do some research on it.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else?
Hi, Ms. Parker. I've been experimenting with the CBD oils. I make my own natural body butters and soaps and things like that. And I recently had a torn meniscus, and so I purchased some CBD oil and just rub it on the spot every day of my torn meniscus. And so I'm glad to hear everything that you're talking about today, because I'm in the experimental stage of using the CBD to heal body parts. It does take the pain away. So I'm just was yeah, glad it, that it, you did it, this it, session it removed, today.
It removes the pain, but it's not like severe pain. Like, it'll remove the pain, like your joints, your meniscus and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. what CBD does long term is heal your body. You're getting great that you're getting relief from the CBD. But if you have extreme pain is what I'm talking about for THC. But yeah, CBD will relieve the pain. It'll heal you, but not to, you know, if you've got massive, crazy pain, CBD won't touch it. It's not enough.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. They're doing the THC treatments on burn patients, because apparently burns are extreme pain. It's just a little different, but I'm just wanting to explain to you why I talk about it and why I won't stop talking about it. So I've got people, like I said, people that have sent me messages that, oh, I'm against this and you shouldn't be talking about this. And I said, you should go to another channel. That's what you should do, because I'm not going to stop, because I believe in this as a medicine. So anyway, I am going to end this recording. For those of you that haven't figured it out yet, this is Ms. Parker from RV Project Help. I'm going to read a slight disclaimer liability at the end of this. Usually I do it at the front, but heck, what the heck. The material and information contained or given in this website or pod audiocast is for general information only. All parties in this channel are not lawyers or financial advisors. However, I am a cannabis expert. You should be using this information with your discretion. You should not rely upon the material or information in this website or audio file as a basis for making any business decision. While I endeavor to keep the information up to date and correct, RV Project Help makes no representations or warranties of any kind, expressed or implied, about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, suitability, or availability with respect to the website or the information, products, services, or related graphics contained on the website for any purpose. All due diligence is responsibility of the participant. With that said, thank you very much, folks, for listening.